Welcome to the podcast of Kingsway Community Church, a community inspired by love to live differently. If you'd like to connect with us online, join us at one of our churches, make a financial contribution, or discover more about Kingsway, head to www.kingsway.org.au or download the Kingsway app by simply searching Kingsway Community Church in your app store. We pray that this podcast will inspire you with God's incredible love to live differently.
How are we this morning? Good. It's an interesting question, isn't it? How are you? Because what are we expecting when we ask someone that? Most of you, I think, would have heard someone say that to you as you were walking in this morning. How are you? How's your week? How are you doing? And most people are genuinely excited to hear the answer. I feel like that when I walk in here and I spend time with you as a family, in a church family. I feel loved, I feel supported. I know that when you ask me how I am, you actually genuinely want to know how I'm doing. And that makes me feel really loved. But quite often, I don't know whether you've ever hung out with someone that you've spent a bit of, or it's been a while since you spent time with them, and they ask you, how are you going? What's new? And you think over your life and you go, not much. Same, same. And I feel like that when I sit with new, like, friends I haven't seen in a really long time, and they say, how are you going? And they're expecting me to have this wonderful big conversation about all the wonderful things that have happened and all the great things that have kind of happened between the last time we had a conversation and this time we've had a conversation. But the truth is, life is ordinary. I wake up in the morning, I go to bed at night, I do my job, I hang out with my friends. And if we think back and look at our life and our ordinary, I'm sure you'd have a similar pattern. Things happen. And praise God for Psalm 139 that says that God actually cares about that stuff. He cares when I wake up and He cares when I go to sleep. He cares when I travel, He cares when I leave the house, He cares when I come home. But it's kind of ordinary. It's what I do. It's where I go. It's who I am. When people look at you and go, what's new? Nothing. Ordinary. It's ordinary. And I love that we are about to finish up with the book of James today. This is the last moment, our last chance together to actually go through James and actually let God speak to us as a church this year. In that book. And I was really challenged this week by that thought. James, way when I was much younger, someone explained James to me like this. They said, James is Christianity 101. You want to know what it's like to live a life following Jesus, you read James. It's an incredibly practical book. It tells you the ins, it tells you the outs, it tells you the how-tos. Now, the people that James is writing to, we know, were persecuted Christians. They were people who were struggling to live a life following Jesus. But the problem was, that was their ordinary. They'd be asked, how are you going today? Oh, it's the same. Same. It's ordinary. It's just what they did. It's where they were. It's what they were living with. It's who they were. It's ordinary. It's just it. Today, as we spend this last little moment looking at James together, I want to challenge your ordinary. Because we, even me in my getting up and my going to bed and my working and my friends and the ordinary pattern of my life, I need to stop today and go, you know what, it might be ordinary, but I am connected to an extraordinary God. And He wants to shake that up a little bit today. He wants to shake it up in me. I'm putting myself out there. I need to hear this message. And I believe He wants to do that for you too. Are you ready to go with me? Yeah? All right. Let's have a quick look at James chapter 5. We're finishing with James, as I said. We're going to James chapter 5, verses 13 to 20. All right. It says this. Let me get it in my Bible so I don't need to have my back to you. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? you should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you'll be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah was as human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back from wandering, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins. Before we take any step further into this thought and unpack it together, I want to pray for us, because whenever we open the Word of God, God wants to leave something with us. And I don't want to miss out on what God might be wanting to talk to me about, and I don't want you to miss out either, okay? So will you pray with me? And we're going to give this few minutes to God together now. Let's pray. God, I want to thank you for your Word. I want to thank you that it is powerful. I want to thank you that when we open it, you want to speak into the ordinary patterns of our life and remind us that we have an extraordinary God in heaven. Father, I pray that we do not leave this room today without you having spoken to us. Father, I ask that you give us open minds, open hearts, open hands, ready to grab hold of what you are telling us today. May we each walk away with something that would challenge us and challenge the ordinary patterns of our lives. I pray these things in your name. Amen. Okay. So, I love telling stories. Most of you know that about me. I'm a kids pastor. That's what I do, and I love to tell a good story. And I was really excited when I read this passage was what I was given to share with you today. And I saw Elijah's name in this text, and I got really excited because I'm thinking, yes, I get to tell some stories, and it's what I really enjoy doing. Gets me really excited. And I began to look at what James said about Elijah. Now, I'm not sure about you, but when I look at this, when I think about the men and women in the Bible, it kind of goes like this. It goes Jesus, then it goes Elijah, and then John the Baptist, all right? So when I think about who I'm looking at and who I'm thinking about, that's kind of how I think about the men and women in the Bible. Elijah, I put on a bit of a pedestal. This was the guy who the Bible says in 1 and 2 Kings, we read about the story of Elijah. This guy ran faster than chariots, and this guy raised a little boy from the dead, and this guy was the one who didn't actually die, he was actually taken up to heaven in a whirlwind. Like, if anyone in the Bible deserves to be put on a bit of a pedestal, it's Elijah. But James, when we look at this verse, it says, this is what it says, James was an ordinary bloke. Now, I looked at different translations of the Bible and it came up with a few different words. It says, Elijah was the same. Physically, mentally, and spiritually, he had the same limitations and shortcomings as me. It says in other translations, it said he had a nature like ours. He had a nature like mine. Another translation says he was the same kind. Another translation says he was no different. So all my Bible reading years, I've put Elijah up on quite a bit of a pedestal, but the truth was he was just an ordinary bloke. He was ordinary. He had the same nature as me. He had the same shortcomings as me. So why, when he prayed, did such incredible things happen? And this is what James is trying to get us to focus on. He's saying, look at this man. He was just like you and me. What did he do? Who was he to make him such an extraordinary example of prayer. So let's have a bit of a look at Elijah's life and pull apart James. Now, in 1 Kings, the first time ever Elijah is mentioned, he's walking toward a king. We don't know. He wasn't mentioned at any time before this. He was just walking toward a king. Who would have the gumption to just take yourself up to a king? But this is where we meet Elijah. Now, what had been happening in Israel is there had been king after king after king after king after king who, the Bible says, let me get this right, did what was evil in the Lord's sight even more than any other kings before him. The Bible says that over and over and over and over and over again. So we're seeing bad king after bad king after bad king, and each king that came along just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And in walks Elijah. He just walks up to King Ahab. And I love what he said. He said, "It's not going to rain until I pray." That is bold. That is real boldness. To have that much certainty in your relationship with God that you can say, "It won't rain until I pray. I know that I talk to God. I know He's with me, and it won't rain until I say it will. Until I pray to God and ask Him to make it happen." Boldness. Boldness in prayer. And then Elijah went away and he listened to God. He listened to God. He went where God told him to go. He went to a place called Kereth Brook, and there God actually provided everything for him. He gave him water. He gave him food. And there are two things I want to take away from that. It's only about three verses. The first is this. Elijah entered the situation and he had a bold assuredness of his faith in God. He knew he spoke to God. He knew he listened to God. He was in constant communication with God, so he had absolutely no problem standing in front of a king and saying, "I say to you, it will not rain unless I pray and ask God to do it." See, Elijah, prayer, this is what I take away from when looking at that particular verse, is prayer for Elijah was not a series of petitions, but a space of constant companionship with God. He owned it. He knew God. God knew him. He spoke to God. God spoke to him. And he walked in super bold, completely assured of his relationship with God, and knew that God would listen when he spoke. See, when we look at James, James asks us to pray in suffering, sickness, and joy. See, he's asking us to pray in every situation. He's asking us to remember that prayer is not just a series of petitions. It is a constant companion. In every situation I walk into, I will walk into it with prayer. Philippians 4:6, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing. This is a constant space I hold with my God. Now, when James urged us to pray in faith for the sick and pray for healing for others and to stand in that space with others, he's asking us to pray with the same amount of faith and boldness that Elijah did and say, "I know my God. I know he loves me. I know where I stand with him. I know he listens when I speak." It's a promise. That was a promise from Jeremiah. He listens when we speak to him. I know that, so I can pray with boldness. Now, let's go back to Elijah, because James says he prayed that the rain would stop, and he says it stopped for 3.5 years. it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And in that 3.5 year time, if you look at the wife of Elijah and his prayer life specifically, he does incredible things. He prays incredible things, and God moves really powerfully in his life. God provided, through Elijah's prayers, God provided for the widow. You might have heard that story before. He provided for the widow. He gave her enough flour and enough oil to see her through the drought. Later on, he actually prayed for that widow's son who had died. And the Bible says, and even though Elijah had this incredible open communication with God, the Bible actually says that he cried out in desperation for the life of this little boy. And amazingly, this little boy came back to life. We also see between what James is reminding us of here, in that 3.5 years, we see Elijah take on the priests of Baal and say, you know what, my God's better than your God. My God's more real than your God. Your God is nothing and my God is everything. And he prayed. And he prayed and fire fell from heaven and consumed the altar that they were praying around. What I like about that moment is the worshippers of this other god, the worshippers of Baal, were shouting and crying out and jumping around for almost the whole day. And all Elijah has to do is go, God, you're real. Can you please show them? This calm, quiet, settled, assured, bold prayer. And fire fell. Now when we look later on, James reminds us that when he prayed again 3.5 years later, the rain came. And this is my favorite. I told this story to our radio kids last week. It was amazing. I've never seen so many kids glued to me before. Because it really is an incredible story. What happened was Elijah knew it was time for the rain to come, and he knew his relationship with God, he knew that he had to pray, and when he prayed, God would listen and the rain would come. And he went up to the top of a mountain, Mount Carmel, and the Bible says he got down on his hands and his knees and put his head down to the ground. I love that. Can you think of that picture for me for a second? I love that because it shows on the outside the utter humility and connectedness to Jesus that Elijah was feeling on the inside. He got down on his hands and his knees and he put his face to the floor and he prayed. He said, God, bring the rain now. And he had a servant on the hilltop with him and he said to his servant, hey, bud, go and run. Go and run, go and run and check the horizon because the rain's coming. And I could just imagine the expectancy. I know my God listens to me. And the servant came racing back up that hill. And he said to Elijah, there's nothing. There is nothing on the horizon. There is nothing there. I don't know whether you've ever been in a situation where you have prayed something and you've done it really publicly in front of others in absolute faith and nothing has happened. This is the space Elijah has found himself in. Not only that, King Ahab knew that Elijah was praying. So he had a king waiting for the rain. He had his servant actually involved in this process and nothing was happening. And so Elijah got down on his hands and his knees and put his head to the floor and he said, God, bring the rain. He said to his servant, buddy, run and check the horizon. Rain is coming. And the servant came racing back up the hill and he said, there is nothing in the sky. So Elijah got back down on his hands and knees and he prayed, God, bring the rain. He said, bud, run and grab, go and grab, go and check, go and see, and come back and tell me that the rain is coming. And the servant came racing back up the hill and he said, there is nothing in the sky. This happened 6 times. And he was absolutely vulnerable in that space, completely assured that God was with him, but there was nothing happening. He had a whole kingdom prepared for the rain. He had a servant involved in the moment with him and nothing happened. But at no point did Elijah give up. At no point. On the 7th time, he got down on his hands and knees and he prayed. And he said to his servant, run and check the horizon. And the servant came back. Now, I don't know, maybe if it was me, I would have been scanning that servant's face thinking, is he bringing me good news? Have the black storm clouds started coming? I'm expecting a mighty rainstorm. Are they coming? Are they coming? Are they coming? And Elijah said to his servant, what did you see? And the servant said, I saw a cloud. It's the size of my hand. It was not what Elijah was expecting, I'm sure. It wouldn't have been what I was expecting. I'm expecting a thunderstorm. I'm expecting something really big to happen. I'm expecting the rain to come after 3.5 years. And all that there is a cloud the size of my hand. It was not what I had been praying for, God. Where are those big black clouds? That would have been my prayer. It wasn't Elijah's prayer. He got so excited. He got so excited. He got so, so excited over a cloud the size of my hand. He said, God has answered my prayer. He said, go and tell the king. It's coming. It was not what he had expected. But all we do is pray, and then God looks after the rest. By any other circumstances, I probably would have thought that was a bit of a fail. But Elijah knew God. And Elijah was prepared to stand and pray. And not just pray for something, but to pray through something. When I look back at James and I look through those few verses, there are so many references to other people. He's talking about brothers and sisters. He's saying, you're my brothers and sisters. I'm including you in this thought. He's saying, pray for one another. He's saying, when you are not well, gather others around you and have them pray for you. It is an incredibly vulnerable space. But what Elijah did really well is he included others in his prayer life. In the fails, in the successes, he very publicly included them in what he was doing and where he was going with Jesus, with God. And James is telling us to do the same. This life of faith is not meant to be lived on your own. Your prayer life is not meant to be lived on your own. What I love about it is that Elijah actually modeled to his servant what it was to pray to God. See, we can stand together and we can pray for something, but there is also a chance for us to share what we do with another person, to model our prayer life to them. It's a great responsibility. Elijah made himself very vulnerable. Now, this doesn't sound to me like my kind of ordinary, my kind of ordinary. And this is the challenge for me. How do I take the lessons that James is trying to teach me and apply them into my ordinary. Because that's what Elijah was. He was just an ordinary person. Let's have, just as we get ready to wrap it up, let's just have a quick read one more time through James. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Constant companionship in everything, in every situation. Elijah taught me that. This is not a series of petitions, although God is desperate to hear them. It's a constant companionship. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Elijah taught me that I need to be able to pray faith-filled and bold prayers. And it goes on, it says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. We need to be vulnerable and we need to include other people in our prayer life. But I want to read what comes next. It says this, the earnest prayer of a righteous man has great power and produces wonderful results. See, Elijah was an ordinary man, but he was also a righteous man. And when we accept for ourselves what Jesus did on the cross, we are put in right relationship with God. We are made right. And when we choose to live our lives in obedience to what God is calling us to, we are choosing to live righteously. My challenge to you today is this. As you consider your ordinary, you're getting up, you're going to bed, you're working, your friends, your family, consider the ordinary patterns of your life. My question to you is, my challenge to all of us is, can we honestly say that we are living a righteous life? If the answer to that question is yes, then we can read that verse and say the earnest prayer of the righteous achieves much, right? Not might achieve, not can achieve, but it does achieve. So if that is something that you are standing in that space and you can say to me, yes, Avril, I'm after Jesus. I am looking to him. I am living my life in obedience to what he's calling me to do. Then your prayers are powerful. And this, as I said, it's a reminder for me as well. Because in my ordinary, I find it easy to forget that. My prayers do achieve much. My prayers are powerful. Not just some of them, all of them. But as a bit of a sum up, a wrap up to James, I want to focus on verse 13 for a second. In James 5, verse 13. It says, are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. I looked into that word happy. And it actually means having a well soul. And knowing on the inside that you are good, no matter what is happening on the outside. See, James was writing to people who were hurting, who were suffering. He was encouraging them. But his challenge to them, and challenge to me, and hopefully your challenge to you too, is it doesn't have to do with the outside. Do you have a well soul? I was thinking through, there's an old hymn. And it goes like this. It says, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul." James is saying, you know what? Righteous people, pray boldly, but don't forget to sing praises to your God no matter the circumstances, if it is well with your soul. We're about to wrap up now. And as we're singing and as we're praising, I want you to think through those few things. Can you honestly say, I'm living righteously. My prayers hold great power, and it is well with my soul. And there are lots of people here who would love to pray for you, because we pray together. So if you are sitting there going, it is, and I want to pray with someone because I'm so excited about it, grab a friend. Find somebody. If you're sitting there going, I am not sure if I'm living righteously, I'm not sure that it is well for me, with me, then find someone and let us pray with you.